And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing so great this morning. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because Kentucky basketball is in town tonight, and I'm going to the game,
boy.
So I'm very excited.
Are you worried?
That would be bad. I haven't even really thought about that aspect.
Vanderbilt's playing pretty well.
I know they're playing pretty well.
They're the only team that won at Georgia the other day all season. Georgia's pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Just let me be excited, Joe.
I'm excited.
I am a little nervous.
Michelle, I'm very excited tonight. Joe, have you thought about the worst case scenario?
Well, I mean, it's either a win or a loss, you know. I think a lot of years, you know, they're going to come to Vanderbilt and they're going to. You're just going to enjoy watching your team roll, right? But what? Has Kentucky won, what, three in a row? Two, three in a row?
Well, it started with Tennessee.
Georgia.
And
A&M, right?
A&M. With Buzz.
Big streak for Cal.
Well, they got Kansas on Saturday, so that'll be tough.
Yeah.
Matchup.
Maybe tonight will be too. We'll see. I don't know. I think it might be interesting.
We'll see what happens on that front. Big one tonight. Over at Memorial. Michelle Knezovic will be live and in person in there.
You're bringing Ryan from Chicago with you?
Of course, and he'll be wearing all Kentucky gear.
Cal, I'm sorry I fired you sign.
Yeah.
Cal, I'm sorry, and then thanks to the program for the tickets. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Forgive me, Cal.
Way to go. Thanks, Cal. Appreciate you. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on all the happenings with the Tennessee Titans and the press conference of Rand Carthon and where the Titans go from here. Predators General Manager David Poile joining us for his weekly visit at 8:30 today. And speaking of the Predators, we're going to have a lot to get to on the Predators this hour. I kind of put out a Twitter, I don't know if poll is the right word, but just a question yesterday of two Predators fans of giving your thoughts on the team, what they've done to this point. We're almost at the All-Star break. Where they go from here, what you'd like to see from here, kind of your Predators fan state of the union. We're going to get to a lot of that from 6:30 to 7 on the show today, but lots of Predators talk here in the first hour, so we'll welcome your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And we had Willie Donick on yesterday, Joe, and you know one of the points he brought up was the top players for this team. When you look at where they're at the standings, they play Winnipeg tonight at home, and they're 5 points out of a playoff spot right now. Calgary won last night against Columbus, and the Preds 5 points out of a playoff spot right now, 3 points behind Colorado, who is also out of a playoff spot right now. Still two important games this week for the Predators at home against two good teams in Winnipeg and in New Jersey as well. And you look at their top players right now, Philip Forsberg leading the team in points along with Roman Josi, both of them at 39 points. Forsberg with 18 goals. Duchesne's got 36 points in 45 games. Granlund with 27 points. Johansson with 24 points. So when you think about who should be leading the Predators in points, the five guys that I think you would roll off the top of your head are leading the Predators in points. Like it's what it is. Forsberg, Josi, Duchesne, Granlund, Johansson are all top five point getters for the Predators. And then you look at the top five point getters, and it's like, not a whole lot of points. I mean, Ryan Johansson has 24 points in 46 games, and he's fifth on the team right now. So what exactly is going on with the Predators and their offense? And specifically, when you look at a couple of top guys, we talked a lot about Matt Duchesne yesterday and Philip Forsberg. And Forsberg, I ran the numbers, did a little Hendersonville High School math before the show, 39 points, 46 games, 18 goals. He's on pace for roughly 70 points, 69.5, I think is the actual number, but roughly 70 points and 32 goals. He just signed an 8-year contract extension over the summer, $8.5 million per year, and is on pace for 70 points. I ask you, Joe, when you watch them play, and we'll just start with Forsberg on this conversation. When you watch them play, and you watch Forsberg play, do you think that he is living up to his new contract to this point? Is he close to the top of his game? What do you see when you watch Philip Forsberg play so far this season?
Well, I just don't think he's as good as he was last year. I think you can go to him and a lot of people and say the same. Obviously, last year you're talking 84 points in 69 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, more than a point a game last year. Like you said, right now this year is at 39 points in 46 games. When we had Willie Donick on the other day, like he said, it looked like, oh, here goes one of those Forsberg streaks, and that's what he has always been, is streaky. So you live with that. You expect that, and you just hope that the good streaks last longer. Last year, I do think last year there was a little bit more consistency, right? It was a little less streaky, and so you end up with a career year. But for the most part, he's been, you know, he's been about a 60-point kind of player in his career. So if he gets to what you're talking about, it's not like some huge disappointment or got paid and just stopped playing. You know, it's nothing like that. To me, he's one of the lesser concerns of these guys. But it probably is still going to require him to really go off for them to get where they want to be. And again, like Willie said, when he was hot, what was happening? You know, the team, everything looked a little bit better. So it's not what you want when you sign a player to a big deal like that. You hope that next year is a great year. It's not any kind of fall off, because for one thing, you know, of course, people automatically go to, you know, get paid, and then don't quite have that same desperation. But I'm not concerned about him. I mean, I think he's basically, I mean, look, let's see, 63 points, 64 points, 58 points, 64 points, and, you know, and then you have 50 points, but in only 64 games, 48 points in 63 right. games. Basically, you know, he's on pace then to really potentially have like the second best year of his career,
right.
except, you know, goal scoring specifically would need to pick up. Obviously, he's had two 30 goal seasons and a 40.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if he ends up with 70 points, that's right around and a little bit above where he's been in his career outside of last year. I mean, the thing that stands out to me, and we knew that this was going to come down to some degree, right? Because I think Forsberg's shooting percentage last year was around 18%, and I want to say Duchesne was 18.9, so right around 19%. I mean, those are two pretty high numbers. I mean, you're basically talking one out of every five shots you take is going in the back of the net last year. That's pretty good. You'll take that every year if you're the Predators. This year, they're both around 12. I mean, Philip Forsberg is at 12 on the dot, and Duchesne's at 12.9. So, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a pretty steep drop-off in shooting percentage. Now, it's not a bad shooting percentage. Like, it's a relatively good shooting percentage.
It's basically his career
average.
Basically
the career average. It's just, it's not 18 or 18.9 like it was a year ago. So that's part of it. I think it's been a little bit less the case lately. I do think at the first part of the year for Forsberg, you would watch him play, and even though the numbers were okay and they were lining up okay, I watched him play and I was like, yeah, he's just not really impacting the game the way that we've seen Forsberg do that. Now, then you fast forward to, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, and he goes on that tear offensively. He gets the hat trick in Vegas, and he's scoring left and right for about 2.5 weeks. And you're like, okay, well, maybe this is the start of it. It's cooled back off a little bit since then, but I still think he's playing pretty well. That's the part about it that doesn't concern me all that much. Like, I thought the first part of the season, he just wasn't all that noticeable as much as he should be out there. And now I think he's starting to get back to being a little bit more noticeable. So I don't know that I'm worried about him. You know, when you sign the $8.5 million contract, the bar is raised. And it's as simple as that. So we said it heading into the year. I don't know that anybody expected 40 again from Forsberg this year. I would have been disappointed if he's not around 33, 34, 35 goals, somewhere in that neighborhood. Right now he's on pace to end up with 32. So you need to pick it up a little bit if you're Philip Forsberg. But I think of the big players, let's leave the conversation to the forwards, because I'm not concerned at all about Josi. Of the big forwards, Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund, and Johansson, I would say Philip Forsberg is at the very bottom of my list in terms of people that I would be concerned by in the way that they've played.
Yeah.
Duchesne, on the other hand, I do think numbers-wise is going to end up with a fine season. I mean, he's at 36 points. You're a little bit over halfway through the season, so right now you're on pace for somewhere, 60, 65 points, somewhere like that. That's right in line for a lot of what he's been for his career. I do think, Saturday notwithstanding, because Saturday was good, scored two goals, looked really good out there on Saturday, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come for Matt Duchene. I do think there have been way too many times this year where he has not quite impacted the game to the same level that he did a year ago. Not really even all that close.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, like you said, like this is still going to be his second best season with the Preds because obviously his first two were so underwhelming and disappointing. And it's fine. That's a guy who they really need him to get on a streak. They need him to get on a run. But he's still, he would be my second, still least concerning forward of the four.
I agree. Yeah.
Because the other two, I just wonder if maybe they just lost a step a little bit, lost a little bit of the fastball. And obviously with Johansson, that's kind of different. Johansson, same thing with Duchene, very disappointing 2021 season.
Yeah.
Big bounce back 21-22. Granlund's been kind of consistent,
Yes.
And he just, just not seeing it as much.
Not seeing it anywhere near as much.
And they need those guys.
Oh, no question. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. What's your opinion on the way the Predators' top forwards have played so far this season? We'll take your thoughts also along on our phone line, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Well, I think there's lots of things to build on, but to me, I think it comes back to some things that we discussed today and then the actions that were taken. And now how do we build those things into being consistent? Tonight it was a hungry group. It was a passionate group. I thought throughout the lineup we had good performances. I thought guys played to the roles that they need to play to. So it was a good game. It was a good response game. And I certainly think it's something that we need to, take some lessons out of this one and build on it going into Tuesday.
That's Predators head coach John Hines after the game on Saturday night. 5-3 win for the Preds against the LA Kings. Taking your thoughts on the Preds all show long. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Mike from Murfreesboro on our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, welcome in.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're good.
Good. So the problem that I think I have with the Preds and the roster that they have constructed is that I just don't feel like we've ever had forward depth that's been developed all that well. I feel like it's almost a similar thing you could point to the Titans with their receivers. It's just like they lack the punch that comes from that realm. And then any time we get a promising scorer, it's almost like the next year, the follow-up year, you don't see that next level. I'm pointing to guys like Tanner Janot, the whole herd line as it is. I just feel like we expected more from those guys, and we're just not seeing it this year, and that's concerning for me with how the coaching staff. I know we sing point to poil. It's just one of those places right now where it's like if we're not seeing any of that young depth, I don't see the point in continuing to go out and pick up B-minus. Free agent. Niederreiter, it's not like he's been bad, but he's not saving the team this year. And I don't think consistently going out and snagging those guys off the free agent list is going to get us to a point where we can take our game to the next level. And I'm just concerned that this group as a whole just doesn't have that, high-end scoring ability. So we're going to continue to be this team that is going to have to get by on goaltending and defense. I just don't think that's the way that this current NHL is going to work.
Yeah.
I'm happy about goaltending. I'm happy about our defense. And it's been our backbone for as long as I can remember. But it's just not the way that you're going to succeed, I think, in the long term in this league.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. I think the forward depth has always been a conversation here, right? I mean, it's always been, all right, how do you kind of get the next wave of not just forward depth, but homegrown forward depth? That's always been something that you've tried to figure out. I mean, look, they've had some guys. You've drafted guys like Arvidsson. I mean, Janoa had 24 goals last year. He was a good story. Now he's got three. He's got three goals this year. I mean, it's a heck of a drop-off from Tanner Janoa. So we're talking about the top guys, but they have had some of their secondary guys kind of fall off a little bit this year as well. So it's like getting it all to line up perfectly. Kind of felt like last year, at least offensively, most of it did line up perfectly. I mean, you had Duchesne and Forsberg going nuts. Yossi had 96 points. Janoa had 24 goals. And that was the concerning part, Joe, about a lot of last year for a lot of people was you had all that happen, and you had a Vezina finalist goalie, and you were the final team in the playoffs in the Western Conference.
Right. Barely got in, got swept.
Yeah.
No sorrows. I know. But, yes. Right. That's the thing. And so I will argue a little bit. Picking up like a guy like Niederreiter, I mean, like I think it was a good pickup.
I agree.
You have to have guys like that in your life, too. Like, you're not – I think to me it comes down to you don't have the top crust forwards that some of these teams do, and it does seem to be the most important thing,
especially down the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of there are different ways to win it in the NHL. Certainly, like Colorado having just won it gives you the whole like say goalie's great, but like this is what you need. You need these guys, but. I mean, Tampa Bay had everything.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Tampa Bay, I'd say that their goaltender was a rather important part of their championships, right?
I would say so.
But they also have, of course, those guys coming at you,
yeah.
You know, on the with their forwards. I mean, that's just – and it just – as we've talked about a million times, how do you get one of those guys? How do you get two of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I mean, think about some of the teams you're dealing with. Obviously, everybody points to, like, Edmonton, right? Because you got McDavid and Draisaitl. But in your division, Colorado's got MacKinnon. By the way, interested in the next few weeks to see what happens with, like, Patrick Kane. See what happens on that front with
yeah.
the trade deadline coming up.
Yes.
But I just – those guys don't grow on trees. And that's a conversation we've had around here for a long time. But in the meantime, you have your guys that you're paying a lot of money to. And the production at times has been there this year. At times has not been. We had Willie Donick on yesterday to discuss the inconsistency from the top players. Here's what Willie Donick had to say.
Well, it depends on which guy you're talking about. I think you know what you're going to get from Roman Josi every night. I think he is what the other buzzword you hear all the time in an 82-game season, who can be the most consistent? I think you're going to get consistent play from Roman Josi. I think the goaltending has been extremely consistent. But I think if you look at a lot of the previews from the season, the question was, could they get a reasonably similar performance from Philip Forsberg, from Mikael Granlund, Ryan Johansson, from Matt Duchesne as they got last year? And I think those four guys in particular are critical to the success of the team. If you tell me those four guys collectively are playing well, maybe not quite as well as they played last year. I mean, those guys, a couple of them had career years. You can't expect that to happen every year. But I think if those four guys can drive the bus, and all four of them had excellent games, I thought, on Saturday, then I think it will make a big, big difference.
That was Willie Donick yesterday on the show. And, you know, we've gone through kind of the reasons there why that's not always been the case. I mean, Joey from Bellevue on the text line points it out. I mean, other than Josi, Forsberg and Duchesne having career years last year, they're back to having a typical season they've had prior to last year. And then other than the last year, we questioned the production from Johansson and Duchesne. I mean, it does kind of feel like – I said it yesterday. Like, some of this is Groundhog Day, right? I mean, we're back to why are they not getting more out of Ryan Johansson? Well, why are they not getting more out of Matt Duchesne? Although, admittedly, a couple of years ago, it was they're getting way less out of Matt Duchesne than even right now that they're getting. So that conversation has still flipped a little bit. But now it's like Granlund, too. Granlund, you know, you got to remember he spent most of the last 2 years down the middle at center, started there this year, and they've moved him to the wing. How much has that impacted his game? I don't know. I thought when they had him at center this year, he wasn't very good. Wasn't playing very well at center. And, you know, again, he played – it's interesting because – the game that all four of these guys that we're talking about that they played on Saturday night, pretty good. Johansson had a goal. Granlund had a goal. Duchesne had two goals. Forsberg was good on Saturday night. So we're coming off probably the best game the four of them have played collectively in a long time. So maybe that's a – hopefully, if you're the Predators, that's a sign of things to come here. But it's just been few and far between with all four of those guys so far this year.
So, yeah, and then, of course, you have the – so it's not a players-only meeting. It's a coach – coach arranged, but then the players did a lot of talking meeting. Yeah. I guess it's just a team meeting, which I feel like they have those anyway a lot. But
usually I guess this one's a little different.
Yeah. But usually the players only meetings, like if that's something that you hear about from a team, usually you're talking about a pretty bad team.
Yep.
Like typically, you know. Now I know a lot of times you'll have one and then you'll have a winning streak. It's like, the players only meeting was huge, you know. But it is interesting that they had that meeting and those guys played like that. And reading some of Roman Yossi's comments from that I read in Alex Doherty's story at A to Z Sports, he talked about, he used the word like honesty, a lot of truth told. I wonder how much those guys in particular were called out.
I don't know. Well, I mean, look.
And if so, by who?
Yeah. I mean, this is no secret here. If those guys aren't productive, you don't have a chance. I mean, you can have a goalie play as good as you want, which Saros, by the way, is doing right now. He's playing pretty darn well, but you just don't have a chance if those guys aren't going to be productive. Now, my follow-up question would be, okay, why at this point, with everything that has happened here, why do you need, like, some kick in the pants to get going here? Like, this is Groundhog Day again. Like, why do you need some, if it's motivation or being called out, whatever it is, why do you need that at this point?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes, like, I can see, misunderstandings or like, hey, I feel like I don't know. Like, I can see a value in a meeting where it's like you talk things through, like, okay, well, I think you're doing this, you should do this more, whatever.
Right.
Stuff like that. But I'm with you. It's like, you need to get your stuff together. And it's run through the wall, you know?
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, come on. The people who make the bulk of the money on this team know exactly what they're expected to do and what they need to do. And they know, when they don't, that this team doesn't have much of a chance.
Yeah, at least I would hope they know that. 615-737-1025. Predators fans, we want to hear from you. This is the Predators State of the Union here for the next 30 minutes. Lots of comments yesterday when we did this on Twitter. We want to open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you make of what you've seen from the Predators so far? What do you want to see from the Predators as they move forward here? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. It's time for our Preds State of the Union. What do you make of what you've seen from the Predators so far? What would you like to see from the Predators as they move forward here? We'll take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Matt from Virginia. Matt, thanks for calling in.
Hey, boys. How we doing this morning?
We're good.
Good.
Awesome. Hey, so what you guys were talking about with the players-only meeting, you know, or the players meeting, we heard about that, and the response was great, but it's never been about just one response for this team. It's always about, can you string together? Can you grow into something that expresses all of that talent that they have and uses the goaltending and everything? And to me, the answer is a big question mark. The body of evidence is what it is on what they are. And, I think it ultimately, it comes down to leadership. I think the team is obviously kind of stuck with David Poile, you know, Adam Vingan's infamous assumption that David Poile has the job security of a Supreme Court justice. I worry that that Hines has become the thing that's holding this team back in a way now, and I know that it's not fair with him coming off of that great victory to judge him. And believe me, I don't take anybody's job and anybody potentially having to move their family lightly, and it's no anger towards that. But I guess my ultimate fear is that with this season, what's going to happen is that they're going to either squeak into the 16th spot, or they're barely going to miss the playoffs. That's the line that the team is going to use to justify their mediocrity. And then you're going to watch Chicago come into your building and draft Connor Bedard. That, to me, is just the nightmare scenario. So
hey,
wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Thanks for the call, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what – look, I threw this question out on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of what Matt said, they're in between, you know, the yelling of firing Poyle and Hines, that was, I don't know, 65-70% of responses that I got on Twitter yesterday. A lot of it was that, like, just the mediocrity was the word that kept coming out. We've talked about that, you know, 1,000 times here on this show, of being in the middle, mediocrity, all these different things. And I do think what Matt has thrown out there is – a scenario that a lot of Predators fans have thought about. Well, okay, well, like, what happens if you're still stuck in the middle and then all of a sudden Chicago goes down there and they win the lottery, they draft Connor Bedard, and they've got their next franchise player for the next 12, 15 years?
Yep. I guess I would say enjoy them being so bad right now.
Yeah. Well, now, one thing to also point out, they may not win the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, so it may actually be a big dub. So they've done all this stinking for nothing. They have bleeped the bed for no Bedard.
Right. I mean, the odds are they won't win the lottery. They'll have a good chance.
Right.
Relatively speaking. But the odds are still not in their favor.
Which is, again, part of the problem of, you know, in the NFL, if you stink to the extent the Bears stink,
you're going to get the first pick.
Yeah, you will get the first pick. And in this situation with the NHL and the NBA, there's no guarantee.
There is no guarantee. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Keith from Bowling Green. Keith, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Keith?
I don't think his team is mediocre. I think they're average. I don't think it's mediocre, and I think one of their biggest problems is turnovers. I mean, Forsberg and Duchesne seem like they, especially Forsberg, turns it over a lot. And Fabro's a turnover machine. I mean, I guarantee you that he gives up at least two big rushes by turning it over. I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Keith. I mean, well, first off, when you're one thing to keep in mind when you're judging giveaways in hockey, you obviously don't want them. But when your best players have the puck the most, they're going to lead your team in giveaways. And just, I imagine Connor McDavid has a few giveaways. Like, it's going to happen when they've got the puck the most. So I understand that part of it. But, yeah, like, you can't – I think a big part of what was going on, especially early, and I think they've gotten a lot better, I think they were turning the puck over, not making good decisions with the puck, and then all of a sudden it was going down the other way. Like, that first game they played in Edmonton back in October, November, whenever it was, I mean, it was a turnover machine. They'd give it over. McDavid's going down the ice. Draisaitl's going down the ice. Well, they get scored. Like, they gave up seven in that game. I bet four or five of them came off plays like that. And you just can't have it. I think they've been better in that area lately, but just something to keep in mind there. Your best players with the puck the most, generally going to lead the team in giveaways.
Yep.
Yossi's got a few.
Yes. And, yeah, you like him on your team. Yeah. So we got Vingan texting us, too. We got so many different sources of conversation going on.
Twitter's going on.
Also, I do have to mention that before Keith went on the air, he said go Big Blue. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks. Oh, there you go. I guess that makes sense, Keith from Bowling Green. One thing, Vingan, by the way, bring him in real quick. But the missing the playoffs, so Vingan did, you know, the quote unquote Preds caucus with Stillman. And yeah. The Preds missing the playoffs better for the future of the franchise? Yay or nay?
Well, it depends on what happens after that.
Right, like, right. You don't know. You don't know. Yay or nay?
Yeah, like. Okay, obviously, getting a better draft pick, it increases your chances of finding those forwards that we've talked about. But what do you do if you miss the playoffs? Like, is it just status quo and you're trying to do the same thing again next year with the core guys being another year older? Like, I don't know.
I think his point is that there would be less of a chance. There'd be more of a chance of a significant shakeup, whatever that may be.
I mean, maybe. I mean, do I believe that with David Poyle? Like, I don't know that I believe that. I mean, we were basically told by ownership last year he's got a basically an auto-renewing contract every year. Like, do we think that that's just all of a sudden going to stop? I don't.
I mean, if I had to guess, no. Would I put a higher percentage on it if they miss? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Would I put more than 50%? No.
Now, if they miss the playoffs this year, is there a chance John Hines gets fired? Yeah. I think there's a chance John Hines gets fired. Should that be the case and David Poyle's the one hiring another coach? I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I would be flabbergasted if that's the case.
Yeah, it would be very, you know, it's well beyond what you'd expect in a pro franchise. Now, look, the Hines, I will say with Hines, I mean, I think it's like it's worth also looking at like him and specifically John Hines. Like, I think he deserved a lot of credit before. I think if you deserve credit when things are going well, then you do deserve blame when things aren't.
Of course. Yep, of course.
So, I mean, look, there are other coaches out there who have done more in the league, who are more proven. You look at like, you know, you look at like Dallas this yep. year as an example of some, you know, some of those guys kind of have, they have demonstrated it. I mean, Laviolette has demonstrated it and basically, although I guess it hasn't gone in Washington the way you hoped,
nope.
but no, like there are more proven coaches than John Hines. This was his place to kind of prove it after I didn't think in New Jersey there was much chance for him to do much there, given the state of their roster at the time. But look, I think it's fair to look at what they're doing, even just player choices and lineup choices and all that stuff, and question him. It's just like you just said, the idea that – like Poyle made this the remedy a few years ago, so then – if it's not, well, then isn't that on Poyle?
Look, if this team misses the playoffs and they come back next year and nothing's different, like they just all right, well, you've still got the same core, you got the same coach, you got the same general manager. Like at what point with the fan base do you look around and say, like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, some people are there based on the conversations that I've had and the interactions on social media that we're dealing with, but I mean, the play this team, we talked about it heading into the season. Playoffs were the baseline. Like, you need – they're a playoff team. A lot of people picked them second in the division. Some people had them third. Pretty much throughout the league, you can find probably an example here or there where somebody picked them to miss the playoffs. Not very many. I mean, there's mostly the opposite of last year where you were having to really search to find people to pick the Predators to make the playoffs. Shout out to you. This year it was kind of the opposite. You were having to really search to find someone that didn't think the Predators were going to make the playoffs. If they don't end up making the playoffs, I mean, that's a complete failure this year. Complete failure. And as Willie pointed out yesterday, the part of it that's concerning to me is it's not like they've gone through some big rash of injuries this year. They've been relatively healthy for the most part.
Yeah.
And they're still 5 points off a playoff spot right now, and the All-Star break's coming up. Now, two big games this week. This week's going to influence the way that – you feel heading into the All-Star break. You win a couple, you're feeling all right if you're the Predators. You lose a couple, you're going to be feeling pretty bad heading into that break later this week.
But I think you did this reach out to the fans, and I think a lot of people are, you know, sort of disillusioned in general.
I agree.
You know, and are kind of sick of being on the roller coaster ride.
I agree. I think there's a lot of that in the Predators fan base. 615-737-1025. The Pred State of the Union, what are your thoughts on the Predators, what you've seen to this point, what you'd like to see from the Predators as they move forward here? Take more of your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, if you've been watching NFL playoffs from the sidelines, still time to get in the game with FanDuel, which is America's number one sportsbook. New customers, you bet Sunday's conference championship games with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you got to do is sign up with promo code JOE102. $150. You know, if I was looking at a same game parlay, how about Eagles Niners? And I think I like the Eagles in this one. I think I like A.J. Brown with an anytime touchdown, and I also think I like the under. I think this is going to be a really good defensive kind of game. Of course, FanDuel also has money line, point spread, player props, bets. that you can do, and it's on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. Don't miss out. Place your $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code JOE102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday, talking Nashville Predators. I'm in our Pred State of the Union, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Did you create this?
What
on Twitter, trending, Hines, trending, Poyle.
Maybe.
They're both trending.
I may have.
Okay.
I'm going to take credit for it.
Wow. Very powerful
Thank
of you.
That's what we do here on this program. Johnny on Twitter, our good friend Johnny, says, add me to the list of Preds fans who want some sort of shakeup by the trade deadline, not a proponent of buying, and with Smashville hosting the draft, I have to imagine the team is going to make a splash by that day. This is from Johnny on the text line. I don't know if they'll necessarily make one by the trade deadline. I mean, I will say, when you're hosting the draft, sometimes you do see teams make some splash moves. When that happens, now you can't just make a move for the sake of making a move because you're hosting the draft. You know, it was different last year. Like, Montreal hosted the draft and they had the number one pick, so that's a good scenario for hosting the draft there. I don't think the Predators are going to have number one pick. So what kind of moves can you really make at the deadline? That's the other thing. Like, we talk about, and Willie brought this up yesterday when he was with us, if you want to talk about the rebuild path for the Predators, I am more than willing to have that conversation. I think that's a valid conversation if that's the route you think that they should go. Question is, how do you get there? Because I have a hard time believing you could trade Ryan Johansson's contract. I have a hard time believing you could trade Matt Duchene's contract. Philip Forsberg has a no-movement clause, and you just signed him. You don't want to trade him. Roman Josi has a no-movement clause. So what are you doing to get yourself into a rebuild with those contracts being what they are? It's hard to do.
Right. And then you get into, like the severity of a rebuild, like, you know, strip it all the way down.
Yep.
All the teams that have, you know, that have tried that it just hasn't worked out for. And also, by the way, we talked about earlier, like, the Preds have some good things in place. They don't have those top line forwards.
Yep.
Like, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, I'm sure you enjoy every night watching Dreisaitl and McDavid, but, I mean, you had the one run, so I guess you could say, yeah, get them in every year and we'll take our chances. But it's not like that has paid off to in a way that you would have hoped, right?
Well, even this year. I mean, look, they're good, but they're in our first wild card team.
Yeah.
And they got a guy that's about to put up 150 points. And a guy that's probably going to put up 130 right behind it.
Like, I'm sure,
I mean,
most Preds have to say, okay, I'll still take that.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I get it. But, like, they should be better.
Yeah.
You got two of the top three or four best players in the league on your team, and they're in a wild card spot.
Yeah. Like, you know, you look at, like, Colorado and Tampa Bay, for example. It's different as we talked about at goalie, but they've both had top line players, but also really good depth players to go with them.
They've drafted really well, and they've traded really well. And that's one thing the Predators, you look at the guys who they've drafted that are top-level players, especially at forward. How many are there? Look, Forsberg.
And two of them have been traded away. Two of them are
right
in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, Forsberg wasn't drafted. I mean, he was essentially developed by the Predators. So you can – he's not drafted by, I count him, like, he got here when he's 18, okay? So it is what it is. Johansson was traded for. Granlund was traded for. Duchene was a free agent. I mean, look at their top six right now. It's a lot of guys that came from somewhere else to get here. Like, you at some point need your guys that you're drafting to come in and be those guys for you. And that's another thing. We talk about, you know, where the Predators have drafted, but, I mean – when you're Colorado, when you're Tampa Bay, some of these teams that have done a lot of winning, you got to find guys in the draft that come in, and it's beyond just the Nathan McKinnons. Like, it helps if you can find McKinnon or Braden Point or Steven Stamkos, all those guys. Obviously, you need those guys if you're going to win. But it's the Kucherov in the third round. It's the, you know, Braden Point later in the draft. It's the, you know, trading for Sam Girard if you're Colorado. I mean,
with the Preds.
With the Preds. I mean, it's making smart moves and then filling your roster in after that. That's how you win in today's league.
Yeah, making good choices.
Yep.
And just way too little of that with the Preds. And, you know, it's like how many, I mean, even just, I mean, like Yossi's a second-round pick, but recently, you know, Fabro should be now a key player. Tolvanen should be here as a key player. Tomasino should be here as a key player. We can ask later about when he's coming
up. We can.
We'll get a date,
the weekly question.
We'll ask Poyle later. He'll tell us the exact date he's being called up.
Exactly. JD on the text line says, the coach has to go. He doesn't have the ability to develop or use young talent correctly. Tolvanen has been lighting up the scoreboard since he left is the latest example of this. Our big-name players aren't playing up to their potential this year. Poyle probably needs to step down as well. After riding the roller coaster, unfortunately, I think it's just time for change, and I think it needs to be big enough to make a difference. Got another texter that says this team is mediocre because that's the type of team Poyle has built over his 40-plus year career. Just enough to get into the playoffs or just missing by a small enough margin that it provides hope. Nothing will change until he's no longer the GM. That's from a texter on the text line.
And there's a whole bunch more But yeah. I love hockey. I love this team. I've been a season ticket holder from day one, but I really do not have much interest watching this team unless ownership make significant changes at the top. Don't see that changing. So, and that's kind of extreme. Apparently, D Mace was like, well, then you're. That's always the interesting thing. Like, well, then you stop being a fan of the team if you.
See, I think that argument is totally ridiculous. Like, to me, like, the idea that you can't be a fan of a team and want to take a path of a rebuild, I think is just ridiculous. Like, it's a ridiculous argument.
Do you want the Packers to go 2-15 next year so LaFleur gets fired?
I mean, kind of.
Kind of.
I'm going to win.
Yeah, I mean, look, take it to the example, like the Titans. Like, I hated that idea of Titans fans, like, hoping to get – to not get in the playoffs with one game.
To get the 11th overall pick.
To try to hopefully maybe get in the top 10. Like,
right.
That's just meaningless to me, you know? That's pointless.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the bigger picture, like, overall, like, okay, something's got to change. I mean, I don't see how you can blame fans or not understand that that's a thing.
Like, I don't – it's not always the same, right? Like, to me, there are certain situations where – you know, I also reject the idea that, well, if you don't have like an elite team that you think is absolutely a Stanley Cup contender, then what's the point of even trying to make the playoffs? Like, I don't buy that either. Like, I think we've seen it. Sometimes you start to figure out your mojo, you play well at the end of the year, you get in the playoffs, and you can make some runs. Like, it happens all the time in the NHL. So I'm not saying that like every year the Predators don't have an elite team. I'm thinking that they should just rebuild. But I do think when you have seen the same thing basically for the last 3-4 years, which is, okay, they're okay. They're good enough to be in playoff contention. They have, to their credit, been good enough to get into the playoffs the last few years, and then they've done nothing with it. Like, when you see that over an extended period of time, at some point as a fan, you think, okay, well, are you ever going to get out of this cycle? Like, I think it's okay to think that way after an extended period of time of it being the case.
Yeah. No, for sure. Now, you know, 6 years ago, no one – that team was not – it was young, though. That's the difference. You know, a lot of the guys were young. But
yep.
No one was exactly 6 years ago on January 24th, 2017, people weren't talking about the Preds contending for anything of significance.
Right. Bryant from Memphis on the text line says, I'll put it this way, Robbie. I literally dread watching these games most nights. Even when they win good games, I'm really not convinced they're worth my time. I won tickets to see them play the Caps at home earlier this year, my girlfriend's first game. Yikes, tough night. I was more mad watching that game than I've ever been watching this team. Something is different about them this year, and it's bad, not to mention the asset management involving our young assets. It's sickening. That's from Bryant from Memphis on the text line. Like, to sum all this up, what I've really been trying to figure out over the past few weeks is, okay, how much of the fan base is mad and how much of it is just the people that we're hearing from that's mad. Like, I've been trying to separate the two. We've talked about this before. Like, you know, sometimes the social media voice is the loudest, and it doesn't necessarily represent what people think. Like, from what I'm kind of gathering here, like, Preds fans are upset. Like, that's kind of my takeaway from all this, is Predators fans are upset with what they've seen.
Yeah, I don't think this is – I think this is a case of reflecting reality. Now, how do you – I mean, I think the only way to determine that is, like, to speak to humans.
I mean, that's – perform
outside,
our own caucus.
Outside of – yeah, outside – but this is – I mean, you can take this any place. Although maybe if you took it to Facebook, you know.
Well,
I mean, who knows? It'd be like, why isn't Seth Jones getting more minutes on the penalty kill? Like, what? But
it's Eric Nystrom coming back.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think that this is reality. I think this is how people feel, and it adds up at this point.
Yeah, we'll get back into the Preds later in the show. Predators general manager David Poile coming up at 8:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Preds pick to click coming up later at 8:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Tennessee Titans and the moves that Rand Carthon now has to make decisions on as he's been introduced as Titans general manager. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.